Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Faith is not an event. Faith is not, you know, this one-time thing I tried because I was in trouble. Faith has been called to be a life. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38 all declare the just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. Now, when you talk about living by faith, the just shall live by faith, what is the source of faith? Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the source of faith is the word of God. Therefore, the just shall live by hearing the word of God. That's why I'm in this place right now. I wouldn't be in a church that didn't have the word preeminent, because I couldn't get no faith there. Amen. When I read, I want to read in the Word. If I'm reading a book, that book better be based in the Word. Otherwise, it's a waste of my time, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, God honors faith and God rewards faith, and he is a God that is a God of recompense. Hebrews 11, verse 1 explains the power of faith, and then verse 6 explains how it's impossible to please God without it. So Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Amplified Bible translates that word evidence for the word title deed, that faith is the title deed of things that I do not see. It's the evidence I have what you don't see. Now, so when I talk about the work of faith, or how to work your faith, we're talking about the actions of faith, the corresponding action of faith for a life that has been saved. Now, we are grateful that we have been saved by the grace of God, and this message is not about you working your way to heaven. This is about you working the word in your life, and not only being saved by faith, but living by faith, because there's a difference between being saved by faith and living by faith. Now, watch this in Romans 10, and this is foundational stuff here regarding the life of faith. And the verses that we've highlighted are between 8 and 17, where we discover in verse 8 that the word is nigh thee. Read it with me. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, so if faith is not in your heart and faith is not in your mouth, you're not operating in faith. Faith is not operative if it's not in your heart and it's not in your mouth. Can we establish that right there? Watch this, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, read it, thou shalt be saved, hallelujah. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I don't know if I've ever met a believer that would deny those verses, that when you hear what Jesus did for you, when you hear the good news of your salvation, and you receive that good news by faith, believing in your heart that Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to take away your sin, that died as a righteous sacrifice in our place, and then that God raised him from the dead, that if you believe that with your heart and confess that with your mouth, that salvation is made in your life. I haven't met a believer that would deny that, but I have met believers that didn't understand that that same principle that brought your salvation is the same principle you should live by in every other area of your life. In other words, why not listen to all of the promises of God and believe in your heart in every promise of God, and confess with your mouth every promise of God? If you're gonna believe in your heart that he sent his son Jesus to die for your sins and that he raised Jesus from the dead, and you believed in that promise and you confessed that promise to the point that you're telling me that you know you have eternal life and I can't talk you out of your salvation because you know that you're saved. Oh, I know I'm saved. I was 13 years old. I confessed Jesus the Lord. He saved my life. Okay, I'm not arguing with you. Hallelujah. Me too. But why not take that same principle of faith in your heart, confession with your mouth, and now apply that to every other promise of God. When 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, all of the promises of God are yea and amen through Christ. Hallelujah. But you can't do that when you don't know what the word says. So we come down to verse number 17, and it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's go and read verse 8 and then verse 17 together. Okay? Ready? Read. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you took those two verses, which are the bookends to a message of faith here in Romans 10, or a lesson of faith, then you find in verse 8 that the word of faith has to be in your heart and it has to be in your mouth. But we find in verse 17, it's not gonna be in your heart and it's not gonna be in your mouth if it's not in your ear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So with those two verses alone, we can establish that if you're gonna live by faith, number one, you've got to hear the word of God. Number two, you've got to believe what you're hearing in your heart. Number three, you've got to confess that word with your mouth. There is no other way to live by faith than to have those three right there in line. But church, that's not the end of your faith. That's only the beginning of your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. But until we get those three things down, we're not living by faith. Faith is not operative. Just as you intentionally position yourself to hear the word, you've got to be very intentional about your time meditating in the word. Don't just hear the word and then leave and rate the sermon or the service. Good service, but they had the music too loud. Good service, but why do they do that with the lights? Good service, but man, it's cold in that church. You ever notice how cold it is in that church? What, does anybody else notice how cold it is in that church? See, that's not why you come to church, so that you can leave and talk about the volume and the temperature, and why do they have all those bouncers? Those are not bouncers, they're greeters. We're not putting anybody out of the church. Just trying to put order in the church. My point is that the enemy will do whatever he can to keep you from doing step two after you went through all of this intentional stuff to do step one. Don't just hear the word, meditate in the word, and recognize that when you have heard the word, that's when the attack sets in. That's when Mark chapter 4 says the enemy comes immediately to take that word out of your heart. Why? Because he knows if you get step two down, you will inevitably do step three. And he don't want step three happening. So he fights the second step. He fights your time meditating in the word. Get that word, put it on your refrigerator, put it on the dashboard of your car, get that word on everything so that you can meditate on that word. Now watch this in Psalms 1. Whoo! Y'all get me stirred up. All right, now watch this in verse 2. Amen. Now watch verse 2 of Psalm 1. He's talking about the word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Read with me. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, I gotta meditate in what I've been hearing. I gotta see what I've been hearing manifest in my life. I got to see God's promise manifest for my children. I've got to see God's promise for my marriage manifested. I've got to see my marriage whole. I've got to see myself walking in wholeness just as God has said. I've got to see myself healed in line with his word. I've got to see myself prosperous just as he said. I've got to see what he said if I'm going to see what he said. Hey, glory to God. I pray just about every time I get in this platform, because this is not a stage, because a stage is for a performance. We call us a platform, because a platform is to elevate something, and we elevate worship, and we elevate the word from this platform. All right. So every time I come to this platform, I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, and I ask the Lord to give me a sensitivity, pretending that we know nothing. Because assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. You got to see it. If you are ever going to see it, you have to see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is, you don't, the Bible says it this way. He said, why would you hope for what you have? Why doth a man hope for what he has? You don't hope for what you have. You have what you have. You don't have to hope for what you have. You hope. You hoped for what you have before you have what you have. But once you got what you got, you stop hoping for what you got. Y'all got what I'm saying? All right, now come with me to Genesis 11. Genesis 11. So faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. So how can your faith go to work when you don't have a hope? You know, all the enemy has to do to stop your faith is eradicate your hopes. That's why the enemy's favorite words coming out of your mouth is this: it's hopeless. I'm gonna say that again. I believe one of the enemy's favorite lines for you to speak out of your mouth is, it is hopeless. Because if it's hopeless, you've stopped developing an image for it. And the moment you stop developing an image for it, faith has to stop right there. It can't even go to the next step. And I've already shown you three in the word: hearing, believing, meditating, and what? Confessing. And when you confess there's no hope, then I know step two has failed. We're gonna get this. I'm not gonna let you not get it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I can't see it, step two is fail. I got to go back to step one. I got to go back and do some more hearing because I didn't get my vision.
Oh, you just don't know my situation, Pastor. It really is hopeless.
Well, you ain't heard nothing I said. You're trying to talk me into your unbelief.
Well, that's because, Pastor, it really is hopeless.
Well, I can't help you. You hadn't heard the right word if you're going to keep confessing that over me. All right, now watch this. Genesis 11, you there, say amen. All right, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, there's another sermon in here, because God told Noah to scatter across the earth after the flood. And they were saying, you know, no, we're not going to do that. All right, verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Please read verse 5 out loud with me. Ready? Read. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. So the Lord came down to see. Do you see that? Verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. They're all saying the same thing. Huh? They're all saying the same thing. They're not only saying it the same thing, they're saying it the same way. because they speak the same language. You with me? All right. This is important that you understand that he's acknowledging they're speaking the same thing in the same language. You with me? They got their mouth right. And these folk are wicked, but they got their mouth right. I want you to get the point is that these are wicked folk, but they understand the principles. Because see, when you're made in the image of God, the creative process still works the same. Lost or saved. Isn't it sad that lost folk understand the principles, even though they don't attribute the principles to God? If they operate by the principles, they'll get the same results that we were supposed to be getting them results. We were supposed to have been the one getting them results. When Jesus spoke to the unjust steward in Luke 16, he said, how is it that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light? The heathens get it when my folk don't. A lost man to get a vision of what he gonna do and then do it. And a saved man will say, I can't see that happening. Now watch verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. Now here we go. Please watch what you're reading in verse 6. Read it with me. Read it slow now. And this they began to do. Whoa, 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 whoa. This they began to do. Read that part again. And this they began to do. Began to do? Let's read verse 5 out loud. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Sound to me like it's already built. Verse 6, the Lord said, the people is one, and they have all one language. Read it with me. And this they began to do. Keep reading. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. They had not done it. They had only built the imagination for it. And God came down to see it. God came down to see what they had imagined to do. Did you see where God came down to see what they had imagined to do? God came down to see their imagination. Amen. And I wonder if God came down right now to see what you were doing, what would you be doing? Amen. Now, watch this in 1 Chronicles 28, and we'll look at it down in verse number 9. When you get there, just say amen. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 9. And listen, somebody's got to be able to see stuff for other people that can't see for themselves. In other words, you know, when you think about what could come as a result of your life of faith that could bring so many other people to salvation and bring so many other people to freedom because of your faith. Instead of walking through the world and through the city and seeing brokenness and bondage and addiction and crime and hatred and falling prey to the collapse of the home and the community, somebody's got to rise up and say, there is hope. There is so much that can be done for the glory of God if you and I would just rise up out of the ashes of hopelessness and begin to believe God that he can move in Shreveport, that he can move in your family, that he can move in your situation, that he's unlimited in resource and power. We cannot, as the church, drive down the city of Shreveport and then see the collapse and see the deterioration and then say, man, this city's going to hell in a handbasket. No, somebody's got to see revival. Somebody's got to see the streets change. Somebody's got to see churches come back to life. Somebody's got to see a sweeping of God's Spirit shaking this city for his glory. Somebody's got to see it. Redemptive revelation, vision, and imagery from God is going to always become bigger than you. It's got to go beyond you, but how can it go beyond you when you hadn't even experienced it?
So God wants you to have the personal testimony of what his word can do, so that you can share that testimony and give somebody out there that has no hope some hope, because you might be the only Bible some folk are reading. So how are they going to follow you to church? How are they going to follow you to Jesus when you broke, busted, and disgusted? Amen. And going through the same stuff they're going through and feeling as hopeless as they do and confessing the same negativity as they confess, the only difference is you dress up in your best suit and go to church on Sunday. Honey, that is not enough. It's going to take more in these last days. Now watch this in 1 Chronicles 28, and we got to see this, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Read with me. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Notice what he says here. He understands all, read it with me, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. He's searching your imagination. He's searching your imagination. Come with me to Psalms 130. Psalms 130. What is he seeing in your image department? You were created in the image of God. What are you imaging? Folk will brag about defeat and say, I knew that was going to happen. Now, baby, you get off that swing set before you break your leg. Get off of it now, you're going to break your leg. Baby, fall and break her leg. Didn't I tell you? On the phone later. I told her she can get off that swing, she's going to break her leg. I saw it. Told her she was going to break her leg. Was it your daughter? Yeah. Well, you just should have said, baby, get off the swing. Why did you have to go all the way into breaking her leg? Why do we see the negative, confess it, then brag when it happens, but won't build vision of hope and confess it so that we can praise God when it manifests in our life? Hallelujah. All right, watch this in Psalms 130. When you get there, say amen. We'll look at it in verse number 5. Psalm 130, verse number 5. I wait for the Lord. Read with me. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. Beginning with and, read it again. And in his word do I hope. What is hope? Hope is to vision. Hope is to imagine. In his word do I imagine. In his word do I expect. That means I'm allowing his word to build the hopes of my life. As I'm meditating in the word, I'm beginning to see the word manifest in my life. I'm now confessing the word over my life. See, I'm working my faith. Hallelujah. My faith is operative in my life. I'm hearing it. I'm seeing it. I'm confessing it. And now I'm headed toward a destiny. I'm headed toward a recompense. I'm headed toward a promise. I'm like the children of Israel in the wilderness heading to the promised land. I'm like Abraham going up that mount, knowing that God's going to raise Isaac up. Hallelujah. I've got this thing in pursuit. I'm like Jairus walking with Jesus to my house, knowing he's going to raise my daughter from the dead. Hallelujah. I see this thing coming to pass. I see it by faith. Hallelujah. I'm fully persuaded that whatever God promised, he's able to perform. I'm strong in faith, nothing wavering. For I know if he said it, he'll make it good. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. For he's not a man that he should lie, and his word will never return unto him void. And if I'd abide in him and his word abide in me, I ask what I will, and it is done unto me. Hallelujah. See, all that's happening now. And I'm moving now. I'm moving toward an expected end. But at that very moment, God is looking in your heart, and God is looking in my heart, and he said, I'm getting my mission accomplished, because what I really wanted to do was convert your soul. See, God doesn't have any problem with the things. God doesn't have any problem with the rewards, the tangibles. That's easy with God. What God wants is your soul. So he'll use the process of faith to convert you. He'll use the process of faith to convert you. Before you know it, you've been hearing, meditating, and confessing that word so long over your life. Now all of a sudden you're not even the same person. Now you don't even, now those words that used to slip, they ain't in you to slip no more. Hey! Why? Because you've been hearing the word. Used to, you'd have said something every once in a while based on who you was with, but you don't even say that kind of stuff no more. Used to, you were hateful. Used to, you were negative. Used to, you were, something to be around. But now all of a sudden, you're not the same. Now you don't treat people the same. You don't look at people the same. You don't talk the same. Finding yourself in prayer. Finding yourself in the word. Finding yourself living differently. Finding yourself paying your bills. Finding yourself keeping what you say. Finding yourself respecting people. Finding yourself in the house of God. One day you was in church, your hands was up. You're like, my God, what's my hands doing up? I believe he done got a hold of me. I'm changing. I didn't even know I was changing. All of a sudden you turn the dial because that music doesn't do anything for you anymore. You don't want your flesh to be moved anymore. You want your spirit moved. You're now downloading new music onto your phone. Music that's lifting up the name of Jesus. Why? Because your soul is converting. You're changing. And God is saying, that's what I was after.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.